At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, let's talk a little bit of NFL. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Eric Kratz. Eric Kratz was the backup catcher for the Royals back in 2014. So I was doing a lot of reading on Pro Football Focus, you know, just trying to stay up to date on everything that was going on. And they suggested a bounce back candidate for a player on every team in the league. And the backup candidate for the Kansas City Chiefs was Isaiah Pacheco. Now, I don't have to tell you guys that Isaiah Pacheco really struggled last year, and it was by a wide margin the worst season that he has had in the National Football League. He had 83 carries for 310 yards. He averaged 3.7 yards per carry. He just had one touchdown last year. He was non-existent for the most part in the postseason. He wasn't even their best running back last year. Now, this is very important to note for Isaiah Pacheco. What did Therese used to always say? Contract year is undefeated. Isaiah Pacheco is 26 years old, entering the final year of his contract. He'll be 27 years old and either looking for a new deal from the Chiefs or hitting the open market and hitting free agency. Isaiah Pacheco can make himself a lot of money by having a really, really strong year. I'm talking about, this is the difference in you potentially signing a two-year, $8 million, two-year, $10 million deal and signing a one-year, $2 million deal to come back and play for the Chiefs next year. So in terms of a bounce-back candidate, and maybe you could throw Rashee Rice in the mix because he missed the entire second half of the season. He's coming back from injury. He's coming back from suspension. He certainly is a good name to throw out there as a potential bounce-back possibility for the Kansas City Chiefs. But Isaiah Pacheco, I mean, he came back, he played, he was healthy, and I throw that in air quotes for the second half of the season. You just didn't get a lot out of him from this year. And if you are looking at the Chiefs' actions and not just their words, their actions suggest that they think Isaiah Pacheco is going to be good this year. They didn't do a whole lot to the running back room. They brought back Kareem Hunt. They also spent a seventh-round pick on a running back. They also went out and you got Elijah Mitchell, a guy who just hasn't stayed healthy really at any point in his career. The Chiefs necessarily don't have that number one expected running back. You think that player is Isaiah Pacheco. All of the stars need to align for Pacheco for him to have a potential big year for this team. If he's looking at kind of, I don't want to use the term cashing out. I don't think he gets a massive deal. But again, I do think that him having success this upcoming season, that's the difference in you getting 2 years, $8 million, 2 years, $10 million, or you getting a 1 year, $2 million, a quote, prove it deal to come back to Kansas City.
Can I ask you a question? Because usually when these, you know, bounce back player articles pop up, and they usually pop up in May and June, that's what happens. It's usually a player on the Chiefs, and Chiefs fans spend the rest of the summer telling me and you, oh, he's about to have a massive season. He just had a little dip, but watch out. we can think of guys who Chiefs fans got all hot and bothered about, oh, it was just one slight regression, but watch out. Do you think Chiefs fans feel that way about Isaiah Pacheco, or have they moved on? Because last year, when he came back, now I don't think he was 100% healthy, but I also don't think anyone in December is 100% healthy in the National Football League. When he came back, the general sentiment I saw on social media and I saw on the text line was, why is he playing? He's only a one-yard guy. He's a bum. They should give all his carries to Kareem Hunt. Why are the Chiefs messing around with Isaiah Pacheco? He should play less in the postseason. That was the general sentiment by Chiefs fans. He makes sense to me as a comeback candidate. Do you think Chiefs fans are still hot and bothered or like Isaiah Pacheco, or have they moved on? Has he entered that Clyde Edwards-Helaire zone where it's like, we're done with you, we're throwing you away, we're on to the next thing?
I don't think that people are ready to throw Isaiah Pacheco away for a couple of different reasons. Number one, I think Pacheco is just a very, very likable person. So I think for the most part, people want to see Isaiah Pacheco succeed. I also don't think the Chiefs didn't go get the new version. Now, if the Chiefs had spent a second round pick on a running back, the hype would be there and the conversation would be, hey, Isaiah Pacheco, you move aside. But regardless of how you feel about Kareem Hunt or Breshard Smith or Isaiah Pacheco, this team needs Pacheco for this upcoming season. And there's not a lot of depth in that room where if they have another injury or two the way that they did last season, you kind of put yourself behind the eight ball and you're in the exact same spot having to go out and having to look through the clearance bin to find yourself a new running back. I also think all of it goes in cycles. This is the analogy I would use, and we see this happen all the time in other things. Rob, how many times has there been an artist that came out and you really liked their first couple of albums? Or you really like their first couple of songs, and then they make another song and you're like, it's okay. And then you think that artist isn't going to come back, but then they come back with a big song, a big single, a big album, and now they're selling out concerts again. I would say that's what happened to Isaiah Pacheco. His first two songs, people really liked. People didn't really like the third song. But if he comes back with a good season, he gets off to a good start, I think people are right back on the train. You and I both know how fickle people can be, how fickle fans can be, especially when, and I think this is just always the perception that you're going to face when you're a late round pick. I think people are looking for reasons to say, see, I told you so, when they eventually fail. I mean, that's basically the same thing that happens to Brock Purdy. Oh, you weren't supposed to be this good. You were Mr. Irrelevant. You were the last pick in the draft. I think people would feel very different about Isaiah Pacheco if he was a second, third round pick. I mean, people held on to hope for 3 years when it came to Kadarius Toney, despite him never really giving you a reason to be hopeful, but he was a first round talent. Look, he was at Florida. Look, he made these one or two plays. I don't think we give it enough credit. Where you get drafted and the perception of the kind of prospect you are, that just stays with you long into your career. So when you're a Brock Purdy that kind of levels out a little bit the way that you did, people can't wait to point and say, see, I told you that guy wasn't going to do it. I feel like people did that exact same thing last year with Isaiah Pacheco, where at least in my mind, there is no arguing. If you were telling me for week one, Isaiah Pacheco is going to be healthy, and week one, Kareem Hunt is going to be healthy, it is not close to me on who the better running back is. It's Isaiah Pacheco.
That's interesting about the, you know, if there was a replacement ready, that you think he would have been treated differently. Because I think Chiefs fans, despite the fact he is older, less explosive, and statistically basically the same, I think Chiefs fans have shifted a lot of their Pacheco love to Kareem Hunt. And maybe I'm just clouded by what happened last year and I'm not seeing the vision of 2025. But it felt like even when Pacheco came back, the large majority of people, at least on our text line, were talking about it's a waste of time when you have Kareem Hunt. Hey, can you imagine if Kareem Hunt had a full season? Ooh, they brought back Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt this, Kareem Hunt that. I think they're treating Kareem Hunt a little bit like the prodigal son.
Nostalgia. How that works.
Yeah,
nostalgia.
He's not a replacement, but I feel like he's getting that, ooh, he's new and replaced energy. He's not the second round pick, but I think Chiefs fans have made a decision. They want Kareem Hunt, not Isaiah Pacheco out there.
Yeah, I also just think, at least when it comes to this, again, I just think Isaiah Pacheco just needs another hit single. That's what he needs. He needs another hit single. You're a little cold right now. The audience has kind of moved on. If you come out with the smash single, people will once again be going to your concerts and buying your merch. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, I think Pacheco is going to get 1,800 all-purpose yards this year. I'm all for optimism about Isaiah Pacheco. 1,800 all-purpose yards would have had him fifth last year in the National Football League. I don't think he's that kind of back. I don't think they need him to be that kind of back. You know who I think he can be? He needs to be Tyrone Tracy last year for the Giants. If they can get him to be Tyrone Tracy or pretty close to that from last year, I think you are very happy about what you get as a running back. Last year, Tyrone Tracy had 192 carries for 839 yards. He averaged 4.5 yards per carry and had 5 touchdowns and can catch the ball out of the backfield just a little bit. That's all I need Isaiah Pacheco to be. I don't need you to be Joe Mixon. I don't need you to be Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't need you to be David Montgomery. Be Tyrone Tracy. Can you be a guy that consistently gets us 4.5 yards per carry? And if you're telling me that the Chiefs' run game is, you got Isaiah Pacheco, who gets you somewhere between 800 to 900 yards. You got Kareem Hunt as a short yardage back. You sprinkle in a little bit of Elijah Mitchell. You spring in a little bit of Breshad Smith. You also use a lot of your creativity and gadget plays to get Rashee Rice a couple of carries. You get Xavier Worthy a couple of carries, Hollywood Brown, and you can use them in the run game. You have enough next season. Now, it's predicated on Pacheco bouncing back from the injury. It's predicated on you staying healthy this year at some of your skill positions, and you didn't last year. But the Chiefs have the framework of having a capable offense this upcoming season. It's just, do guys stay healthy this year? Coming up on the other side, we're going to head to the phone lines to be joined by Eric Kratz. He was the backup catcher on the Royals in 2014. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Happy to talk a little baseball with Eric Kratz. He was on the 2014 and 2015 Royals team. He also is one of the hosts of Foul Territory, where you can get all your baseball information. Eric, happy to have you on the show today, my man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What is it like to see all of these celebrations around teams that you played on now over a decade ago?
Oh, man, it's awesome to see those guys when they all get back together. Last year I was at the 14th celebration, but 10 years? It feels like 10 years. Some people are like, I can't believe it's been 10 years. It feels like 10 years. Well, that's happened in the last 10 years.
What is it like to now see that Salvador Perez is still playing baseball after this? Because most of you guys that played on that 14 and 15 team, you guys have moved on to media. You guys have moved on to do other stuff. Salvi's either catching or playing first base every day.
Yeah, well, he was just a young pup during that run, so he should be still playing. A guy like that, the game's easy for him. He doesn't even really have to try, so maybe now that he's older, he has to start trying. And, oh, yeah, he made an All-Star game last year, so he's still got it.
You joined the 14 Royals in the middle of the season. Did you notice that something special was about to happen when you joined that locker room?
You know what I noticed? I noticed that I went from a Blue Jays team that was 2.5 games out of the wild card at the time when I got traded, and I joined the Royals team, and they didn't make any big moves. And I remember the Blue Jays players were pissed because, we didn't make any big moves. You know, they got Danny Valencia for me and Liam Hendricks. So it was like, why aren't we making any big moves? When I got to the clubhouse, I remember the same day, they were like, the Royals were like, we don't need anybody. We got all that we need here. And that young group just had that swagger because they had won all the way up through the minor leagues. Obviously, they went on to have awesome careers too, but they won all together. And I think it's invaluable. It's a trait that I think Dayton Moore in the front office knew was important, and they executed it, and then look what happened.
Yeah, I'm looking back to when you joined the team. So you were traded on July 28th of 2014. The Royals were 53-51 when you got traded there. So a team that is very much in the wild card mix, but you were 5 out of the division. And then basically from the moment that you joined the team, they just went on an incredible run for the final 3 months of the season.
It was an incredible run. It was an incredible run that was backed behind the fact that their backup catcher, me, never played. And I was totally fine with that because you had an all-star in Salvador Perez who really led the team. I mean, when you talk about the pitching staff, obviously you talk about, HDH in the bullpen and you go, that's what led it. Yeah, absolutely, that led it. But that dude was out there. Salvi was out there every single day catching. And without him, you'd have to put a schmuck in like me, and that's not gonna push you to that kind of record. But we had the Tigers in our sights when I got there, and it was like, those dudes on that team, they were young, and they were like, screw those guys, we're sick of losing to them. And it was legitimately like the mantra in the clubhouse, like when we're going to play the Tigers, screw Anibal Sanchez, Justin Verlander. Who else was on that team? I think Victor Martinez was on that team anymore, but Miguel Cabrera, like we're not bowing down to the team that won the division so many years. Obviously they ended up winning the division and they overtook us after we had taken it back or taken the division, but it was something that they just weren't, as a team, as young players, they weren't afraid of the big bad Tigers anymore.
Right now, we're talking to Eric Kratz. He is with Foul Territory. Be sure to check it out. He also played on the Royals in 2014 and 2015. When you think back to that time, Eric, is there a game that kind of pops up in your mind? Like when people ask you, what was it like to be a part of those teams? Is there a memory that you have?
The wild card game, obviously, is for anybody that was in KC, anybody that was a Royals fan at the time, like, it's still one of the greatest games that I've ever been a part of. Like the fact that we were down to the fact that we were even playing the A's at the time was crazy because they collapsed and they had John Lester going who just didn't give up leads, and all the things that culminated in that game with Brandon Finnegan coming in, with the fact that he was just out of the College World Series, and just the trust and like how the organization was like, look, these are the guys that we got. We're going to go and get it. I mean, Aki Nori almost had a walk-off homer. He took it was Doolittle to the fence where Josh Reddick backed up and caught it, and like it was just a sack fly, but Who got on to start that inning? Josh Willingham? Like, there's so many names that, like, didn't really do a lot during the season. Not saying Nori didn't do a lot, but Nori was rarely in there in the ninth inning. They always brought in Gerard Dyson and moved Lo Kane, future Gold Glove winner, over to right field. And so it's like all the crazy stuff that happened in that game, like, we had such a great bullpen, but for some reason, Ned brings in Jordan Ventura, and you're like, what? That's like the least suspecting person that you would bring in. Brandon Moss is the homer. And you go like, holy crap. Like, how did we end up winning that game? And then get to game seven of the World Series with a runner on third to tie it up in the ninth inning. Like, just the fact that started off the run to get to game seven was bananas.
I've been to a lot of sporting events. I know that you have as well. I don't know if there is a sporting event that perfectly encaptures a roller coaster of what it's like to be a fan. Wasn't sure if I would ever see the Royals make the playoffs. Like, they were not a good team for most of my childhood. Then I wake up one day and you guys are in the postseason. It's like, oh my goodness, I got tickets to the wild card game. I go. Then you're right. You guys get out to a lead. Then you blow the lead with Yordano Ventura, and you're thinking, wait, this whole thing is about to fall apart. And what became a theme for the Royals for those two seasons was just chipping away, and never give up. You guys obviously win the game. You guys go on an incredible run in 2014. I just remember the entire wave of emotions as I sat there watching the wild card game.
I can't imagine what it was like to be a fan, but essentially I was a fan because I was just on the bench waving the towel and being ready to go in the game. Had Salvi, I forget how many times Salvi made out before he got the game-winning hit, but had he gotten on base, I would have been the one going in, and then everyone would have said the same thing they did on that ESPN night. What the heck is Eric Kratz doing in there?
A couple more questions here. A lot of Royals fans get triggered when they hear the name Madison Bumgarner. Are you one of those people that get triggered when you hear the name Madison Bumgarner?
No. Look, like, that dude, that's what I always, you know, people kind of forget, you know, oh, you guys lost game seven of the World Series. Who's that to? I was like, oh, yeah, we lost to Bumgarner. And they're like, who? Oh, you know, Madison Bumgarner. They're like, we didn't lose the one guy. I was like, well, we did lose the one guy. Let's put it that way. That dude pitched every game and, you know, triggered? No. I went and played for the Giants for about a month and a half at the end of my career. And, you know, I had gotten to know all those guys. I gotten to know Buster and Brandon Crawford. And he was lights out. He was the proverbial hop on my shoulders, I got you boys kind of moment. And we don't see that much. Credit to Buster Posey for guiding him through really that first inning that he came out. It felt like he was, you know, he wasn't quite as sharp as he needed to be. And I think I see this hit into a ground ball double play. And it felt like that was maybe our shot, because then he came back out. Velocity was up. His command was there. And he just started cruising. But more credit goes to Bruce Bochy. Boch was like, well, yeah, I'm just going to let this guy go and see what happens. Like, he had already cashed most of his bullpen. I think Jeremy Affelt was already in the game in the first or second inning, something like that. I forget. I think Peavy started the game. And, you know, you knew Bumgarner was looming. And when he came in, it was like, okay, his run can't continue. Like, I get it. He's gotten us already. It can't continue. And, you know, Gordo tried his best. And Salvi popped it up. And you know what? The rest is history, because, you know, if we win that one, do we go back-to-back and win in 15 also? I don't know, but I do know that the hunger that offseason, you know, some people say hangover for teams that do stuff like that, you know, tough loss at the end of the season, game seven, and people were like, ah, they overachieved, all that stuff. There has never been a hungrier offseason for a group of dudes, you know, texting, meeting up, all this stuff. And it was like, it was a foregone conclusion that we were going to win the World Series in 15.
This is how I always look at it. I look at it kind of like the end of Rocky I. Like, Rocky does not win at the end of Rocky I. But, like, the way they package it, the way it makes you feel, like, Rocky, you saw Rocky be triumphant. I was talking to Eric Hosmer about this a couple of weeks ago. He came on the show and I told him, like, I don't look at it like you guys lost the World Series in 2014, just didn't win the World Series in 2014. Like, that entire experience, that ride, those 2 months of you guys making the playoffs and then getting to Game 7 of the World Series, like, it's almost like my mind stops at you guys played at Game 7 of the World Series, and then it just doesn't play out the remainder of the series.
Right. It was like, we'll pick this up next year. We'll just finish it out. And we had a chance. You know, we had the chances that year, and it just didn't quite happen. Like you said, Madison happened.
No, that, you know what? That is a great way of putting it. That is Eric Kratz joining us on the show today. He was on the 14 and 15 Royals. Also, check out Foul Territory for all your baseball news and information. Eric, it was great catching up with you, my man. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and don't be afraid to give me a shout if you need me again.
Absolutely. Eric Kratz joined us on the show. You know what? I will never, ever, 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 ever be tired of hearing stories about the 2014 and 2015 Kansas City Royals. Never. Even if I've even heard the story before, it just makes me happy. I still feel good hearing those stories. I still like seeing Eric Hosmer come back, Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, Wade Davis. I still like seeing those guys come out to the park. I'm a little bit upset, Rob, they're doing this home run derby thing in September because that's the same day as the Crawford-Canelo fight. I wish they had scheduled it on a different day or else I would have been there. But I will never, ever get tired of hearing stories about the 14 and 15 Royals. It was just a happy time for everybody.
We've talked about it on the show before. It was honestly the most magical ride, and you could argue it was more fun than any of the Chiefs' success, because the Chiefs' success has been great, don't get me wrong, but it feels like, oh, you have the best player and the best coach. It's kind of expected. That Royals run, you say it perfectly. One day it feels like, oh, they're in the wild card, and then you look up and you're at a parade in 2015. It felt like a, you know, 14-month fever dream, but it was real, and it just felt like they could do no wrong from the minute the eighth inning of the A's game started until the final out of the Mets World Series. It felt like everything in between was just near perfection from the ball club. And I don't think the city has ever had anything like that before.
Can I be the old guy that stands on the soapbox and screams at the cloud? And I feel like I'm starting to have these moments more and more, but I promise you that these opinions and these thoughts come from a very, very good place. They are going to expand the NCAA tournament. I don't even think at this point that is an opinion. I think it is becoming a fact. They are going to expand the NCAA tournament. There is enough support from coaches. Bill Self recently came out and said that he is in favor of tournament expansion. Dennis Gates is in favor of tournament expansion. ADs, presidents, the only people right now that are stopping a possible expansion of the NCAA basketball tournament are the television companies. And if they think it is financially feasible to spend more money on the NCAA tournament, they already spend a lot. I know that we have been conditioned as a consumer to justify every move that these companies make by, well, they make more money. But is it good for the sport? Is it what's in the best interest of the sport? Does it increase competition? And this is where I become the old guy yelling at the cloud. I feel like our whole life we have been told about the dangers of participation trophies and how back in my day we didn't do that, how you had to earn things, and you soft millennials, you think that everybody should be included. Millennials are not the ones that are making the decisions right now when it comes to college football. It's the same generation that told us our entire life, how you had to earn things and nothing was going to be given to you, and how dangerous participation trophies are. Now we're looking to include the 71st best college basketball team and give them a chance to win the national championship. We're sitting here arguing in college football ways to include 3 and 4 loss college football teams. That's what we're thinking of right now. And we're going to justify it. Well, I mean, they make money. I mean, yeah, but all money ain't good money. You made a G today, but you made it in a sleazy way. You're trying to package the 72nd ranked college basketball team and tell me why they should be included in the NCAA tournament. We don't want it. We don't need it. A majority of these changes in sports are solely capitalist decisions, and they're not competition decisions. We didn't need to add weeks to the NFL regular season. We didn't need to add teams to the NFL playoff. Well, they make money on it. They were already making money hand over fist. The only way, and I'm serious, the only way you can get me to support expanding the NCAA tournament would be this. On Tuesday and Wednesday, before the actual bracket starts, you need to put teams like North Carolina against mid-majors. You need to put North Carolina up against Illinois State. Here is a team from the ACC that was the ninth team. Here was the best team in the Southwestern Conference. They missed the NCAA tournament because they lost on a buzzer beater in their regular season. We're going to give you the opportunity to compete against them. The winner moves on to the NCAA tournament. But you and I all know that's not how they're going to do it. They're trying to create more spaces for Virginia Tech. They're trying to create more spaces for Arizona State. You weren't good enough. When did we lose the ability to tell people that you aren't good enough at something and to go do something else? Isn't that what sports is supposed to be? Everybody can't play on varsity. Somebody has to go play JV. Somebody needs to go to the band club. Somebody needs to go to chess club or do something else. Only 12 of you can make the varsity team. We had the tournament package just right. 64 teams. We had the bowl games, and now we got to expand the bowl games where you can be 6-6, and one of your wins was against a D2 school or a 1AA. So you really went below 500. But no, you bought a win at the very beginning of the season. Now you get to go to Hawaii for a bowl game. No, get better. I don't know why we're afraid to tell people that in college athletics. So maybe I'm the old guy. Maybe you guys want the tournament to be expanded. Maybe I'm off. Maybe I'm wrong. And you know what? I can live with this if I'm standing on this side for myself. If you don't make the college basketball tournament, it's your fault. It is not the committee's fault. It's not the CBI or however we're evaluating teams. Bro, you played 30 basketball games this year. You had all non-con to figure it out. You had all the conference schedule to figure it out. You had you had three separate portions of the season to try to get right. You missed it, but no, we got to think of more ways to give you a fourth chance to make the NCAA tournament. We're not doing this for the Kansas. We're not doing this for Duke. They've made the NCAA tournament. We got to do this for NC State. We got to make sure that Wake Forest makes the NCAA tournament. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I hate what they're turning college athletics into. You got USC scared to play Notre Dame because it might hurt their chances of making the college football playoff. We're talking about now getting it to 76 teams in the NCAA tournament. We want a 16-team regular season, and it's too much. I mean, I know I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to complain the same, but I mean, I at least have the ability to say, this isn't what I want. No, I don't want this. I don't want it.
This applies to all sports, but it really applies to college sports. What happened to the value of the regular season? We've just lost that. The NFL just expanded their playoffs. I promise they're not done expanding the playoffs. The NFL loves its playoff ratings. They're going to keep adding more games. The NBA has like 22 of the 30 teams make the playoff or the play-in game. What are we doing? The NCAA tournament is going to move to 72 or 76. Why? Why is the college football tournament expanding to 16? Like, what are we do? Baseball expanded. Now there's three wild cards. Like, when did we as a sports watching society decide we only care about the games just the postseason? And now the owners of these teams, these television networks, the powers that be have noticed that, and they've decided, let's just make the postseason bigger because that's the only time these people will watch. And now, you know, the fourth game between Kansas and Wagner is who cares on television. But don't worry, when we get to 32 college football teams in the playoff, we can have that same game and people will love it. What has happened?
Because what's happened is you have watered it down and you've taken away the sense of accomplishment. Everybody's college team isn't going to win the national championship. It's not built that way. Everybody's college football team wasn't good enough to make a BCS game. So making a BCS game was special because of how hard it was. I just looked it up because I was curious. Kansas played college basketball from November 4th of last year to March 13th was their when they got eliminated in the Big 12 tournament. From early November to mid-March, if you didn't put in enough work and create a resume enough to make the NCAA tournament in 33 games, that's a you problem. You didn't win enough games. At some point, there has to be a cutoff. We don't need half of the teams in the NFL to make the postseason. You weren't good enough to make the postseason. We don't need to make it where 80% of Power 5 schools are in the NCAA tournament. Half of y'all ain't good enough. You're right. I don't know why we have decided to completely water down the 3-4 months of the regular season all to try to enhance the 3 weeks of the postseason when we're not really debating how to win the championship. We're debating how do we create more games that we can sell to ESPN. I told you guys when this first happened, the college football playoff's purpose is not to find a national champion. It was to repackage the bowl games that kids told you I didn't want to play in anymore. Kids stopped wanting to go to the Orange Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl. So the best way to get them to play was to rope it into the playoffs. They have a proposal out there right now where there would be a weekend where we would get the 13th ranked team and the 16th ranked team to play for entry into the postseason. We've lost the plot of what we're doing here when it comes to this stuff. Be better. That's what sports is about. You're not good enough. Go in the offseason, hire a new coach, get a new strength coach, and come back the next season and be better. And then repeat the process until you actually get it right. Why are we trying to widen the door of what these accomplishments should be instead of trying to make it harder and more special when you actually can walk through it? Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I was searching the internet and I saw that on May 30th, 1982, Cal Ripken Jr. played the first game in what would eventually become his record-breaking streak. You know, the Iron Man, he played in 2,632 consecutive baseball games. Shout out to the Iron Man, Cal Ripken. One thing that I don't think they tell you enough when you're, you know, coming up, going to work every day is a little bit overrated. I mean, a little bit overrated. Rob, you know one thing that I think millennials love? Man, I love my PTO. I mean, they're offering it to you. Why not take it? Now, I understand, you know, hey, fans are paying a lot of money to come out there and see you play. And if you're healthy, you should go out there and play. Yeah, man, going to work every single day seems a little bit overrated to me. You know what? People usually love those three-day weekends. Sometimes, you know what? You have the ability to take your own three-day weekend. You don't got to wait for anybody to tell you, hey, you know what? Hey, we actually have a holiday on Monday. Why don't you stay home? You can just create your own. Whether you're just like, you know what, I don't really want to go to work on Friday. Or whether it's a Monday, you know what, I kind of want a long weekend. They don't tell you this enough when you're coming up. There's a lot of information that the adults tried to hide from us. I think that's number one on the list. Going to work every day, a very, very overrated activity. Sometimes it's okay to just be like, you know what, I'm not doing it today. I don't really feel like coming in. Somebody should have told that to Cal Ripken Jr. There was definitely a day. It was a July 11th that it was hot out there. And Cal, you know what? You probably would have been better off just, I just kind of want to stay in the shade today. I just kind of want to stay in, you know, hydrate, kind of talk to my guys. And you know what? Maybe I should take today off. Sometimes I think you need that from time to time. I actually do want to tell you this. Scott Hansen, it was a little question of what he was going to do. Scott Hansen is the host of NFL Red Zone. He was thinking about joining NBC. So he would obviously not be on Red Zone anymore. Well, he announced today that he has signed a new contract and he is coming back. We are actually 100 days away from the first Sunday of the National Football League. So we are a little bit into, I guess, less than 100 days from the actual first game of the NFL season. But we are exactly 100 days away from the first Sunday of the NFL season. I'm going to tell you right now. When they put that countdown on the screen and it counts down from 30 to zero and you get to see that highlight for the first time and Scott Hansen is standing right there in front of you and he's about to take you live to Saints Texans. Oh my goodness. It gets me every single time. I love it. Red Zone is my favorite thing about the National Football League. I told you guys, if it was up to me, the Chiefs would never play at noon on a Sunday. I hate when they play at noon on a Sunday. I love when they play either a 3:25 or a Sunday night football game or a Thursday night football games. That means I can keep my permanent reservation with Scott Hansen every Sunday at noon. That is by far and away the best thing about the National Football League. When they got all the games firing off at one time, and then when you get to the witching hour, it's 2:30, it's 2:45, and you got 3-4 games that are coming down to the wire. It's the best show on television once we get to that point.
Can I give you a Red Zone hot take? Oh, it was a hot take. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Red Zone's great until about Halloween. And then the NFL starts getting funky with the schedule. Maybe Thanksgiving, maybe not Halloween. But the minute the NFL starts getting funky with the schedule, Red Zone stinks. So your December, January Red Zone is unwatchable. It really is. Because the Sunday of Thanksgiving, you would have had 4-5 games by then. I'm good on Saints and Bucks. I don't need the highlights from it. Pass. Christmas time last year, we had like 6 games before Christmas Sunday. I really am not locked in to watch last year's version of the Cowboys take on Kenny Pickett's Eagles on Red Zone. Pass. Red Zone is great in September and October, but the minute the NFL starts playing games to the schedule, it becomes an unwatchable product because the highlights are games you don't care about, I don't care about, Joe Schmo doesn't care about.
You know what? That's when I love it more because then you're hiding the football that I don't want to watch. See, I always look at it like an appetizer. Once we get later into the season, they're putting the games that I want in standalone anyway. You're going to give me Chiefs and Bills at 3:25. So yeah, I wouldn't watch Steelers and Patriots. I'll watch Steelers and Patriots if you're only going to give me the good plays. Then we're going to go to Cardinals and Raiders. Yeah, if you're going to package up the slop of the NFL and put it into a nice, neat package, and then we'll get to the good games at 3:25 and coming up later tonight, I actually don't mind when they do that. That's when I start to like Red Zone more, when they package it in that way. We'll get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour because this should be a great weekend out at Kauffman Stadium. I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Jason McIntyre, who was filling in for Colin Cowherd today. He asked a very good question about the National Football League.
Bottom line is, it's not like this is a dink and dunk offense. We know that the top four guys are Mahomes, Josh Allen's a reigning MVP, Lamar's got two MVPs, and Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl. That's the consensus top four. I don't see why this isn't a consensus top five. It doesn't make sense. Jalen Hurts has to be fifth. You can make a case for Stafford, but he hasn't been to the Super Bowl twice, okay? He hasn't. And that's what Hurts has done in a short time span. People want to push Jaden Daniels in there. I'm like, guys, 1 year? One season?
I think Jason McIntyre is making some good points. And I am also guilty of this. I think in some ways I'm a little bit hesitant to kind of put that crown on Jalen Hurts' head. But if you were looking at it objectively, I mean, he's only had one and season in the league. 2 years ago, 23 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. It was just an off year for the Eagles. You remember, they got off to the hot start. Then they just started falling apart. You were hearing these stories. It seemed like Nick Sirianni was on the outs with a couple of the key players. I don't know what went wrong for the Eagles in 2023, but something just felt very off. But this past season, Jalen Hurts, you know, threw for 3,000 yards, had 18 touchdowns. You already know that the rushing yards and the rushing numbers are going to be there. Some of that is his own doing with the scrambling. Some of that is obviously the tush push. I mean, he had 14 rushing touchdowns this year. So some of it is they have doctored the numbers in a way to make sure that he always gets touchdowns. I do wonder why we are hesitant to kind of crown Hurts when it does feel like that last spot is up for taking. I'm with them. There are four spots that are reserved right now in the National Football League. Mahomes' spot is locked up. Josh Allen's spot is locked up. Burrow's spot is locked up. And Lamar Jackson. So those four, we don't really need to have a conversation about them. That fifth spot right now should, I think, go to Jalen Hurts. We're talking about a 26, 27-year-old quarterback who is coming off of arguably his best season and just winning the Super Bowl. And we've seen now in two of the last 3 years, he's taken his team to a Super Bowl and gone up against arguably the best defensive coordinator in the last 20 years and stood up against one of the top defenses. Everything about Jalen Hurts should be flashing. He's arrived. He's a top five quarterback. But I do think that a lot of people in the NFL are kind of hesitant to put that crown on his head. We might end up being right this season. We all know how up and down this can be. Jared Goff has now lost his offensive coordinator. What's he going to look like this year? Matthew Stafford is a year older. Father Time always hits certain guys quickly. Aaron Rodgers is nowhere to be found. CJ Stroud took a step back last year. It does feel like there are 8 to 10 quarterbacks that you can make that argument for number five. And it feels like in some ways there are more reasons to poke holes in some of those quarterbacks than build them up. But I think in some ways it's kind of hard to deny Jalen Hurts. Super Bowl MVP, won a Super Bowl, been to another one, played well in both Super Bowls. Jalen Hurts might be the answer for the fifth best quarterback in the National Football League. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Let's get back to baseball. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.